Acts chapter 1, we're going to start down with the ascension in verse 6. So if you have your workbooks with you, you're going to be on pages, I believe, 34 and 35. It's going to go from verses 6 through 11. Now, blessings to you in Jesus' name. Glad you're here. Welcome to this training. And thank the Lord that he's right here with us along the way in all the training. And that's what I love about this. I'm reaching over here for another page. No matter where you are and where you are right now, there he is. The words of Jesus in the Great Commission, and that's part of what we're doing. We're part of the Great Commission. And just knowing now, he says, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, Lord Jesus, blessed be your righteous name. We ascribe greatness and power and might to the Savior, God our Savior. May you stretch out your hands today in courage and strength in everyone that's in the training, everyone listening to the training courses. And right now, that you would stretch out your hands if there's a need for healing, a need for encouragement, a need for empowerment, a need for conviction of sin and repentance. We pray that, Lord. We renounce Satan and his works. We accept the authority you've given us in Christ, Luke 10. And we ask you to deliver us from all the work of the enemy. And I pray that all that are listening, and down the road, the hundreds, and God, we're going to pray for thousands down the road, that'll be involved on a worldwide scale. We believe that literally millions, and that's your intent, Father, we know that, that every believer, the joy of the Lord is their strength, that salvation, so great a salvation, we're not to neglect it. And stepping out and doing the works that we've been chosen in Christ to do. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for everyone that we have here and my friends and brothers and sisters, most of which I will probably never see on this side, which is temporary, but together on the other. So glad you're there all around the world. Every once in a while, send a note. If you've led somebody to Christ, if you've seen something powerful, and you don't mind, I will probably share testimonies, first name only, like Sarah or John. First names only, basically, out of what nation, whatever. We'll do that along the way, too, to let everybody know what's happening and the powerful answers to prayer. Ephesians 3:20 and 21, never forget. The ascension, verse 6, in your Bibles, and if you have your workbooks open. So when they had come together, they asked him. Now, I just want to, again, the gathering. They gather together. They're all gathering around Jesus. That's the picture of gathering in the church. Stained glass windows, all the other ambiance, all the other issues announced. Everything, even preaching and everything else is secondary when it comes down to it. We have gathered in his presence before the throne of grace. Two or three gathered, there he is in the midst. We are, as we read in Corinthians, the body of Christ collectively, us individuals, a temple of the Spirit of God. That the church in Ephesians is said to be the dwelling place of God. So more than anything else, the recognition, the honoring of his presence, you can do that individually. Right here, right now. Lord, I just acknowledge you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you, you dwelling in me, in your presence, in your work, and I thank you. So as we gather, even as you're gathering around here, maybe some of you, and I'm going to say this, blessings to all of you who are making CDs or just simply taking the MP3s and you have a class going on. Some of you bought in three or four, of the workbooks. We're asking you not to copy them. Remember that, okay? We'll do everything we can to get you those. If you're having a hard time, we'll try to really, really help you. That's the only cost of this entire course is a workbook. Just honor that issue on the workbook, too, and the copyrights on that, please. Now, they asked and said, Lord, will you, and I love this, Psalm 34, I sought the Lord, he answered me. We ask him. Ask, you receive, right? So they asked him, directly, obviously, the resurrected Christ is now before them. I don't know if they got used to it yet. I wouldn't, even after a few days, first 10 days, into the 20th day before he ascends, they're gathering around him, and they're asking him questions. I just think that would be astounding to look. Now, you and I as believers, we're going to look on, you know, we see this in prophecy in the end of the book of Revelation. You're going to see God face to face. You're going to see him when he returns, and I think the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians already predicts your emotional response, that you're going to be there speechless in awe when you see him when we're caught up together to be glorified. Now, when they'd come together, they asked him. You can ask the Lord today. No differently, please note that. Whether you see him visibly or know that he's there, is there any difference? No, of course not. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, again, that comes from a lot of the Old Testament references to a millennial kingdom and a restoration, which is going to happen. The millennial kingdom deals a lot with that. There's also some idea that the work, you know, some of the, and again, I call the Pharisees and the Sadducees kind of a cult. They set aside God's direct work of salvation by faith and made up their own works religion that was a bondage to people. And their whole thing of them being the rulers, and they're going to get rid of Rome, and they're going to rule. And so he's going to set them straight on the rule and the reign. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, that is going to come in the millennium. All Israel shall be saved, Romans chapter 11. So he said to them, this is verse 7 now. And again, I'm going to say verse 6. You can ask, you know, ask. Here's what's really good, too. Asking the Lord and then scouring, deeply getting into Scripture, and then listening to the Spirit of the Lord, too. So verse 7, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times, the chronos, or the dates. We're not here to know the... We have, in Matthew 24, the signs of the end, and when all of them are on the field, we're to know that it's the end. So the signs, but the exact times, the exact dates, and obviously the exact hour, which the Father has fixed by his own authority, no one else. This is part of that entire work of redemption. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the high order of the triune God. Let us create man in our likeness. Well, here we have the Father sends the Son. The Son does what he does. He's going to send the promise of the Father. He says to Philip, don't you know me? I and the Father, we are one. Jesus says in John, I think it's 12 through 14, if you love me, you'll obey my word, and my Father and I will make our home in you. So it's important that we understand the work of the Father and the authority in this, what someone would call the order of salvation or the work. It is he that has fixed the timing of that release of Jesus, and then the coming of the kingdom. And there will be, and we won't have time here in one of the other courses maybe, but the whole millennial kingdom, there's so many prophecies that give reference to Israel. So there's a lot of things to be fulfilled there. But that's part, again, that's massive and huge in a thousand-year reign, obviously, Christ ruling with the iron scepter. Ruling and reigning, and us glorified immortals ruling and reigning with him, but it comes to an end. And then there's the eternal kingdom that we're all a part of. And actually, the eternal kingdom, that's what's dwelling in you, the gift of eternal life. The gift of that coming immortality and eternity is dwelling in you. Ephesians 1, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of what is to come. So the presence of the future is already deposited in you. Now, here's what he tells them not to. And this is important. Whenever the Lord tells us not here, not there, and I want to say that in all our studies and all that we do in life, you have one singular life to live. And you're a believer and obviously want to live that to the glory of God and to the bearing of the fruit and doing you know, all that he wants us to do. The parable of the sower. Some take that word of God and really honor it. They produce 30%. Some produce 60%. Some then produce 100 times as much. So I'm going to tell you again, if you know, spiritual discipline is a great, powerful aspect of our development. and being consistent in prayer, consistent in word, consistent in growing, consistent in witness, regardless of sometimes the oppositions, obviously. And the stronger you become, the oppositions fade, and the triumph of God becomes even more demonstrative in your life. Now, having said verse, you know, the question comes, and then the answer in verse 7, it's not for you to know this. So I'm going to tell everybody, as much as I believe the signs point to Jesus coming in the next, you know, I wonder if we can ever make 10 years more. I wonder if it's 15 and maybe even 20. I don't know. But by the signs I see, not by times and dates, no date setters. This is the anybody setting the date, you immediately lock down to say this is not it. It's false. So nobody's going to give you work out some schismatic to give you the times, and nobody's going to give you a date based on any calculations. It's all wrong. It's not for you to know those. Now, Matthew 24, you can know by the signs and the developments how close. Now, the Father is fixed that by his own authority. And so the release, I mean, remember again, the door opens up, the trumpet sound of God, the sheer sound alone. So if you read 2 Thessalonians 1 and see his coming, the visible coming, if you read Revelation, or you could even read 1 Thessalonians 4 in his descent, but then Revelation 19 in that descent, and the Father has fixed that by his own authority. Now, what we need to focus on, and the things that we do need to focus on, and that's true in all of what we are and do. There's things that, you know, even over the last, you know, all these years, there's difficult times that have come up. I don't have an answer for some things, but based on Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I don't have to know everything to be able to trust him, to be able to believe him, to be able to praise him, to be able to believe Romans 8, 28, and so forth, that he's at work for my good. God is at work for my good, for yours. No greater Father, no greater Savior. No one loves you more. No one loves you more. Nobody knows you better. Nobody desired you. But when you're born again, you got to realize how close you are. Engraved in the Lamb's, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows you individually. Isn't that great on a personal level? So when I read verse 8, this is where he wants us to get to. Here's the focus. Here's where we really need to be at this time. Well, it's not for you to know, but what is to be known? Well, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, there's the focus. That has everything to do with the redemption of the world. That has everything to do with the plan of God. That has everything to do with what's going to be happening in your life from this point on. And I think that is a part of the vital aspect of your life. I'm looking over here for one of my pages is missing. Sorry for that. There it is. And so when I look at the rest of this verse, and when you look at all of this together, this promise of the Father, and you're going to be, and you shall receive. Now, this is something you don't, again, you don't earn this. You don't even, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Spirit of God, the gift. So in salvation, like Romans 8, when you're born again, you're born again of the Spirit of God. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. So when Christ comes in after Pentecost going on, the gospel being preached, and again, based on Ephesians chapter 1, when you hear that word of truth, that gospel, having believed, you're marked in him with a seal, the Holy Spirit comes in. Now, I believe that we're meant to be filled with power, and many times that occurs the moment of salvation for some, the Cornelius experience. But then something like Paul later on in Acts 9, he does get saved. He calls on the Lord, but then he gets filled with the Spirit later. Important, you can't get filled with the power of the Spirit unless you're saved. It's like you can't have gifts of the Spirit until you're born again and have the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit unleashes giftings. Well, here we're looking at what's coming up when it comes down to Pentecost, because this Pentecost is the big setup. Some say 1.5 million, some say 2 million gathered around, and the promise that we read in Joel, which we're going to do when we get to Acts 2, this massive promise, what Jesus spoke about in John 14, 15, and 16, what we read Jesus say in Luke's Gospel 24, and what we're reading here. So I want you to realize the massive setup and the providential, call it organizing of the Lord in a sense, for that day to pour out the Spirit of God and on those 120. There's 2 million. Even if we say there's a million in the area and they're gathering for Pentecost and there's 120 disciples, and they are the recipients of the fulfilled prophecy of Joel. This is that, Peter's going to say, of what was prophesied in Joel. And so that's very special, very enormous, because from that day on, as you'll see me, I hold that the pouring out of the Spirit, 2,000 years later, we can be saved, born again, filled, clothed. We're to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. We're to be sealed, marked, indwelt, comforted, guided, directed. We're going to look at all the aspects of the work of the Spirit of God. And you'll notice in this workbook, there's a lot of that. Even when we're done with the book of Acts, we're going to be going into many other aspects. Practical aspects, including the power of God and the work in evangelism, and the Spirit of God guiding, leading, directing, so forth, and then gifts of the Spirit and all of that. So when we talk about the evangelization in the biblical norm, it is unleashing this powerful, incredible gospel that's intent is to save. God summons all people everywhere to repent. Now is the day of salvation, right now. So that's the immediacy of God calling people to get saved. Now, there may be healing. There may be a demon that shows up to expel. There may be a sign. There might be opposition. So we're going to look through the book of Acts. There may be needs for this sign, that sign, an earthquake here. We're going to look at all those things in the context. So we hand over the providential signs, wonders, miracles to God, but we also expect them. And there's a difference in nowadays, too. I want to make this emphasis. There's the Spirit of God and the powerful triumph of the signs, wonders, and miracles. There's sometimes some Christians can get into fleshly misuses. We'll discuss that, and that needs to be corrected. But then there's counterfeit, 2 Thessalonians 2, that we have to recognize, reject, and repel and expel. That's important, too. But the promise of the Father. Now, I don't know about you as far as being clothed and filled and indwelt or baptized. Some we'll talk about terminology. People use a little bit different terminology on this. But there's the clarity is in the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, filled with the Spirit. Paul, filled with the Spirit. Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit. Peter, filled with the Spirit of God. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit. On and on and on. So you see me emphasize the word filled because it's associated with Spirit-filled believers. It's associated with receiving the power. It's associated with, and it's always connected with power that turns them into the demonstrative witnesses. So there's a number of manifestations with the Spirit of God here and there, some that occur sometimes and others other times. And we'll discuss that, but this verse 8, I want you to hear me today, as Jesus would say these words to you, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Direct reference to Luke 24. And you shall be my witnesses. That's the ultimate result. That's the reason for the power of the Spirit of God, to be witnesses, his witnesses. I'm going to tell you something. There is no greater position on the planet. Whatever career, job, government, military, whatever you're doing, to be a witness of a Savior who died and rose from the dead, who has the gift of immortality in his hand, who conquers sin, Satan, hell itself. So, you know, for me, in the scripture, in the proclamation, well, Jesus, the gospel, most powerful, most needed, most astounding thing. Now, you shall be my witnesses. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I know what Jesus did in saving me. I could get up and testify right now how he brought me out of the deadly darkness I was in and saved me, plucked me out of all of it, forgiveness and empowerment. I love to share that testimony. I've done it partially here, there, and conference. I'd love someday just do the whole thing. Maybe I'll do that and put it out. Because what God did to me, so lost, so dead, so just utterly a sinner. Now, when he says my witnesses in Jerusalem, because that's where it will occur first, the pouring out of the Spirit, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, and the power of God that's going to come on them. Now, they're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, as we see in the rest of the book of Acts, that occurs. Then they're going to go to all Judea. That's going to happen. Then they're going to go to Samaria and out to the ends of the earth, the ethnos, everyone. Mark's gospel, Jesus says, take this gospel to every single living creature, human being, every single person. Matthew, Jesus says, to make disciples of all ethnos, all the nations. It's always been intended for the whole of humanity. It begins with the Jews functionally, because they were there to prepare the way, in a sense, to receive the promises, to receive the Messiah when he came, though they did not, nationally. And so when we think and read of this, I want to just give you a little thing to think about. If you were to go in the backyard and build a bonfire, small bonfire, and it's really nice going bonfire and beautiful red flames and heat and all that. Now, if you were to take a little bucket of gas and throw it on the fire, obviously, maybe I should say kerosene or something, but if you were to throw that propellant on the fire, obviously the fires will rage. The thing that you're going to see is the fires go up. The things you're going to feel is the heat of the fires. But it's the gas that has worked with that. That's the idea here, is the Spirit of God in power falling on the believers to exalt Jesus, to make known Jesus, to loosen our lips and our hearts and our lives for Jesus, to fill us with Jesus. So in a real sense, the Spirit of God's power, dunamis, used about 120 times in Scripture, the felt conscious power, the power of God. Now I want to say this too. You can't separate power from his presence. So to be filled with his power, you're filled with his presence. You're going to hear me say that I think in a demonstrative sense, the overall evidence of every single spirit-filled person in the book of Acts was Jesus is just manifesting through life. Power, dunamis, spiritual power that emboldens them, and they get stronger and stronger, and they're witnesses and sharing and so forth. And then they're effective in soul winning and sharing. So I want you to hear me clearly, because I believe I'm saying over decades now, a lot of the subnormalism that we've seen in churches, to where they've dumbed down everything, and it seems like it's the norm, but it's not. It's Sardis. Sardis is not what God intended. And so you can look how God approached that. The power of the Spirit of God is willed by God, the pleasure of God, the provision of God, and obviously the promise of God. And so whether you have been already, or the good news is, every single believer can go before the Lord, and we show you this in the rest of the book and make it very clear to you. The simple things are here. Repenting of all sin, yielding everything to Jesus in obedience, and by faith alone, asking and being filled with the power of the Spirit of God. Now, power of God may manifest immediately, or may manifest. Either way, you're going to have the manifest power of the Spirit of God. Now, we will talk about, can gifts manifest? Can other things happen? Yes. And we'll discuss that as we get into the depths of that. But I want you to know that here's the ultimate and original, and what you're going to see through the entire book of Acts. Everyone that received the power, clothed with power, filled with power, every one of them are just launching out for Jesus. They're in the Word, they're praising, they're praying. God is at work all over them and around them. As I say, they became the most supernaturally powerful people on the planet. Everyone born of the Spirit of God, clothed in the power of God, growing and stepping out doing the works of Jesus, they become the most powerful, supernaturally oriented people on the planet. Now, if in verse 8 you'll circle the phrase, my witnesses, don't you want to be a witness of Jesus? I mean, connect that with Romans chapter 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is Jesus, everything about him, his coming, his life, his words, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension even. And so the gospel is all that, as God brings the Savior. He's the Savior. He's the Savior, and what he did is bringing the provisions of that saving work, the cross and the bloodshed. So when Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, begins with the Jews because that's the functional first. It has nothing to do with superiority, nothing to do with favoritism. It has everything to do with function. And then to the Gentile. People are saved by the same grace of God alone. There's no other name given under heaven to us, to mankind, whereby we must be saved. You're going to see that. So let me say a couple other things in this audio on that. Verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they looked, he was taken up. That means powerfully. I mean, as he's speaking these very words, they're looking and gazing. The word look here means they're gazing, they're fixed upon him. And as he's speaking, all of a sudden, he begins to ascend. Now, mark down John's Gospel 17, Jesus praying to the Father, Father, return to me the glory I had with you before the creation of the world. He's going back to where he came from. This is God who became, you know, came here, the Word became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. So now, after that death, after that resurrection, of course, after living that sinless, obedient life and fulfilling everything and rising from the grave as the scriptures taught and declared, now the ascension. And he was taken up. Now, again, you can circle and mark down Revelation 12 where the Christ child, you know, Satan wanted to destroy. He did everything to stop this. He was blown out of the waters all the time. And Jesus, victory over the world, victory over Satan, victory over sin and flesh, and victory over the hell, all of that, and opened the doors for us, you and I, to come to God. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, is the declaration from the Old Testament to the New, Romans chapter 10. Whosoever, you know, he's going to save wonderfully, freely, generously, by sheer grace. So here, he's taken up. And a cloud in the clouds received him. He went into the clouds from their sight. Now, again, you can circle, write down Matthew 24, connected to verse 9 and 10. Write down 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Take a look at his return. You know, he's going to come with the angels. He's going to come with us. He's going to come in the clouds. He's going to come with fire. Verse 10, when they looked intently towards heaven as he ascended, suddenly, two men stood by them in white garments. Now, really quickly, some said, well, that might have been Moses and Elijah, and that might have been two men. But we don't want to get into people that argue about necromancy and the dead speaking. Well, first of all, believers in the Old Testament, their bodies may be in the ground, but they're alive, like Moses, like at the Transfiguration. There they are, absent from the body, present with the Lord, as Scripture says. So they said, men of Galilee, why stand looking, gazing towards heaven? Now, this is important because it connects to Matthew 24. It connects to Mark 13. It connects to every scripture that refers to the coming of Christ again. It refers to 1 Thessalonians 4, 2 Thessalonians 2. It refers to Revelation 19 is the big picture. This same Jesus who was taken up from you to heaven. Stop for a second. Remember the thief on the cross? When called out to him, Lord? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He called out to Jesus. Jesus alone can look at him and say, today you will be with me in paradise. So Jesus now, he's taken up into heaven. Stephen is later going to see him in the middle of his being martyred at the right hand of majesty. Paul's going to engage as Jesus engages and brings him to his knee, and then we'll see about John on the Isle of Patmos. But who is taken up from you to heaven will come. Listen to these two that said this. He's going to come in like manner in the clouds, the angels, the redeemed, in fire, as you saw him go into heaven. Just as he ascended up into, there will be, marked down, 1 Thessalonians 4, Revelation 19, there will be a descent of the Lord Jesus. Well, that's a blessed hope. That's the joy. That's what's inside of us, the Spirit of God. That's in the twinkling of an eye, in a flash, mortal shall put on immortality. It's when he comes. It's when he comes to be glorified in his saints. Well, that's audio 20, pages one in your workbook anyway. And again, I hope that you're taking the time to write things down and mark things down. That would be pages 34 and 35. See if the Lord speaks to you. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you today. Keep us in your prayers. We'll see you in the next audio.